Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to basically answer the question of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect because somebody on Facebook said that I should just take my logical mind and just stop posting stuff and shitting on everybody's parade. If you can't already tell, this is episode number 10. It is 30 March 2014. I had decided that every 10th episode is going to be a very not safe for work vlogcast. So I'm going to warn everybody now, if you are watching this and you are under 16 years old, or if you are at work, or if you're using an unsecured connection of some kind where you don't want Echelon to know what you're doing, now is the time to stop. Okay, now that you've gone ahead and done that one, fucker, congratulations. I am Shooting Tribble. I am the host for the evening, and I was originally born in Brooklyn, raised on Long Island, currently live outside of Buffalo, New York. I was raised in a Roman Catholic family, Italian, imagine that. I am currently a very unabashed atheist. Joining this evening are Unrenown Tech.
Greetings. I'm from Southern Maryland, a wonderful dirty underbelly down here of you're either right or you're horribly going to hell kind of area. And I'm an atheist.
Okay. And Witchy Bunny.
Well, I'm Witchy, born in Philadelphia. Still living there, though currently a little further points north. Born a Jehovah's Witness, currently agnostic, seeing what the hell's out there.
Okay. Now, we do have the word out for both Dallin and for Gavin to join us. I was running a little bit behind schedule this evening, and I got stuff going on my phone, which really needs to be turned into silent mode. Thank you ever so much, goddamn thing.
Did you invite Heath?
I did not specifically send out a thing over to him. I will. I should really do that, come to think of it. Or, you know what? I don't know if either one of you want to go ahead and do it. There should be the thing at the bottom that says link. You could send them a message and just say, hey, guys, would you, if you guys are, like, not busy, feel free and let me know. And
you can do that, Tech. I'm forced to work with the trackball tonight, so I'm effectively useless.
Wonderful.
Let me log into Fuck Facebook here.
Love you, Shu.
Yep. All right, so the idea tonight was basically we were going to take all the stuff that we've been holding on to and being nice about through all the previous episodes and just let it all hang out at this point, because there's just way too much shit where we look at stuff and we go, how the fuck do you not get it?
Let
Seriously.
It all hang out.
Oh, God, it's just... Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, let it all hang out. I mean, really? That's the phrasing you want to use tonight?
I said it was not safe for work, and if people have got a problem with it being a sausage fest, so much the better. It's just the way it's going to be. You know what? I don't really much care. We're going to start it off. You know what, Witchy? I'm going to throw it over to you, because you sent the link over to me over on Facebook. Feel free.
You know, and it's funny, because we were you had actually mentioned this last night, and I had meant to send the link over to you then, and I remembered about 3 hours ago that I hadn't yet done this, and this is a link having to do with the whole vaccine denier
autism.
Thank you.
Matter of fact, I am going to go ahead and turn on my screen share so that you folks at home can see part of this website.
Thank you. So, of course, you know, people have been doing study on autism, and you have people like Jenny McCarthy, who, you know, bitch who doesn't know what to do with her big fat mouth, and, oh, my son's autistic because he was vaccinated, and then later, oh, wait, no, he's not actually autistic. Never mind the damage that, you know, this whole anti-vaccination thing has done. Now we see that, autism actually begins in the womb, not from vaccination, which means all these things, all these diseases that are making resurgences, yeah, thanks a lot, Jenny McCarthy. And Jim Carrey, too, because he promoted that shit, too.
Yeah, nice. And by the way, for those of you that might not necessarily be able to read this, I'm going to read the first two paragraphs off of this for all of you folks so that you can kind of follow along at home, because the second paragraph, it just blows this one completely out of the water. Autism begins, the headline on this one, as you can see, obviously enough, is Autism Begins as Brain Cells Altered in Womb, Studies Find. And this was just released just a couple of days ago. Autism begins when certain brain cells fail to properly mature within the womb, according to scientists who say the scattered pattern of the undeveloped cells may explain the wide range of symptoms seen in children. Now, here is the damning part about this whole thing. Quote, the researchers studying post-mortem brain tissue taken from kids found that those diagnosed with autism missed key genetic markers for brain cells that are supposed to develop prior to birth. The defects occurred in regions that control emotion, communication, language, and social comprehension, all functions impaired in autism, the researchers wrote. Now, Madam Bunny, how would you interpret paragraph number two?
It sounds to me like this is something that these kids are born with, not something that they get from being vaccinated against childhood diseases. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Tech, had you heard about this one yet? And if not, what do you think about this one now that you just heard that?
Well, first off, I have no idea where Jenny McCarthy learned to get a fucking vocabulary, because from I remember, most people just stared at her tits and watched her bounce up and down. At least that's what I used to do. But I used to watch her on MTV, you know? Bedtime was a great time.
You know what, Richie, don't even start. Do you remember back when USA Up All Night had...
All Night was on... Oh, God, she was
oh, God,
so,
I was watching...
I was intelligent.
I was watching HBO late at night, I'll tell you what.
There you go. All right, but
no,
we'll come
back. USA.
We'll come back.
Before we move on, actually... I just want to say, anybody who remembers Rhonda and remembers her as an airhead, you have no idea how truly intelligent that woman really is.
Well,
anyway, back to Jenny McCarthy
and
lack of intelligence. The paragraph basically says that autism begins at basically the point in time between conception and birth.
Now, here's where it gets to be funny. Those of you that happen to be of the... follow me on this one. Those of you that follow the Roman Catholic teachings, who say that life begins at conception.
Oh, right.
Wait a minute. Does not the Holy Roman See also say that the soul is imbued at the beginning of life, which is conception? And do they not also say that you get a guardian angel at the same time? Tech, now you got that one. Go ahead, knock this one out of the park for us.
Okay, wait a minute. So you're saying that at my conception of birth, I had a guardian angel assigned to me? Mine's fucking absent. Mine's obviously summer in a gutter with, like, heroin needles in its arm and, like,
mine's getting
hopped
drunk
up on meth or some shit. Because, frankly, you know, really? Come on. I could do a better job, and I'm not an angel.
Mm-hmm. Bun, be my guest.
My guardian angel's getting drunk, and I grew up a Jehovah's Witness anyway, so what fucking guardian angel did I have?
Exactly. Now, what about all of the kids that are born with cleft palates? How about all the ones that are born with their hearts growing outside of their bodies? How about the ones that are growing up without a brain?
God,
really?
How about those that
God,
are just...
God made them that way. She didn't just like, you know, and you know exactly where I'm going with this shoe. If you were assigned a girl at birth, you need to act like a girl. You need to look like a girl. You know what, Roman Catholic Church? Fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't forget the flipper babies. You forgot the flipper babies.
I tell you why I didn't get there. Because I didn't yet go ahead and talk about the bat. But we can talk about that later.
What, Batman?
Are you going to be doing your Joker voice?
He's planning on it.
He's thinking about it now.
You know what?
If there is a deity that we have to answer to upon death, I hope that whatever deity it is sounds exactly like the Joker, because I will go to hell laughing my ass off.
Which Joker?
The one from the animated series.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
Because I will go to hell laughing my ass off.
Quick question. Why is Luke Skywalker the Joker?
I can actually answer this one, believe it or not. Some people actually remember, because they were tortured with it, there was the early 90s, I don't remember what year exactly, could have been 92, there was a live-action version of The Flash. And if you find the opening for it on YouTube, you will hear it has got the same goddamned theme as the goddamned Batman movie, because it was written by the same guy. But that's the theme. Anyway, in The Flash, one of The Flash's enemies, I don't know if he was quite the arch enemy, was a gentleman known as the Trickster, who had the singular distinction of appearing twice in the very short-lived series. Both times it was voiced by, take a wild guess,
Mark Hamill.
That's exactly right. And you know what?
Don't get me wrong, because Mark Hamill makes an amazing Joker, even more so in the Arkham game series, where they're able to combine the persona of the animated series Joker with the absolute ruthlessness and killer Joker of the comics. And holy crap, that is the scariest Joker. Well, second scariest Joker I've ever seen. I'd say he ties with Heath Ledger, because let's face it, Heath Ledger was a really good Joker.
I'm sorry, but I have to say that Heath Ledger, when he got into the Joker persona, that was, you looked at him and you knew he was absolutely fucking psychotic, the way Joker's supposed to be.
Well, and here's the thing. Actually,
he did a better job than Jack Nicholson,
Jack Nicholson was freaked out by his Joker. And actually, the guy who played Alfred, whose name I can't remember at one point, there's a scene where the Joker walks in on the party, and, you know, Alfred's right there. He had lines there that he forgot to say, because it was his first time seeing Heath Ledger in full, like, Joker mode.
Yep. That's freaking impressive. That's freaking impressive. There's a lot about that, and we can deal with all that later. Ross, by the way, is watching. Thank you very much. And is throwing a couple of questions over here. I want to tackle one of these really quickly. Yes, it's a fun one, because this opens up a big can of worms. Asking, do you ever think God will see the light and become an atheist?
But that would negate his own existence, wouldn't it?
Maybe. Now, see, here's the problem. If you really want to get super existential with this goddamn thing, here's the problem. First off, which God? As we learned from the Dark World, even Odin says that they're not gods up there in Asgard. I was going to say Mount Olympus, but Jesus, I was going to start getting my... Damn it.
I pray to Joe Pesci.
Okay.
Couldn't help it.
Let's assume the Abrahamic God, because honestly, that's the God that is the huge thing. One second.
Yeah, the most common one. All right, so...
Yahweh?
Okay, let's go with that. We have to go through a couple of assumptions on this point to deal with what God is at that point, what Yahweh is at that point. Now, there are a couple of possibilities. Item one, that Yahweh actually is the god as described, is actually omnipotent, is able to create and destroy entire universes just because. Now, if that were the case, no. Obviously enough, he couldn't be an atheist. He could be humble about it, which, unfortunately, according to the Old Testament's description of him all, humble is not what Yahweh goes with. Forgiving is also not exactly in his general CV, but we'll come back to that later. Now, there is, of course, the other possibility, which is that as defined as a god, a deistic god, of just a look at this that I just sneezed out. Well, I hope there was nothing actually in there. I'll just throw that away for now and just let it go. If there is such an entity, no. And I can't, for the life of me, discount the possibility that there actually is. And I'm gonna be running with that in a couple of moments because I'm going to effectively be pissing off a certain griffin of ranting distinction from something that he said at one time or other. Either one of you want to go ahead and cover this?
I'm sorry. Ross's question.
Are atheists mad at God because the fires of hell emit greenhouse gases? Ross, you have a wonderful sense of humor.
Hold on.
If you're ever in Southern Maryland, you need to reach out to me. I will buy you a beer.
have we ever solved the question of whether or not hell is exothermic or endothermic?
We have not. However, there are certain people who have, and it's all based off of marriage, as I understand it. But that's a whole other issue.
We saw actually the mathematical formula that proved it was both.
Well, that's just
keep it as a constant.
That's just great.
Well, you know, it's like Schrodinger's hell. You know, until we actually go there and observe it, it's both states at the same time.
I can't say anything because I actually have used the Schrodinger example as what was happening to my cat when I had to take him to the vet. So
I'm sorry.
So that was interesting. But no, atheists aren't mad at God because the fires of hell emit greenhouse gases. We're mad at God because, you know, we can't go to HellCon yet. Come on.
No, but in all seriousness, Ross, atheists aren't mad at God. Atheists just don't believe in God. Atheism is not a belief system. It is a personal relationship with reality and logic.
And before we accidentally piss somebody off on this one, Ross included, please understand, we are actually not angry with God. We are not angry with we are no more angry with God than we are angry with Hogwarts for not accepting us for the upcoming semester.
I'm pissed off with Hogwarts for not accepting me.
You know what? That's shut the fuck up, buddy.
I'm not trying to get into Hogwarts. I'm trying to get into the Castle Anthrax.
Okay, the whole bunch of you. I just going to. Okay. Before I start frothing at the mouth, it's a little bit too late. The thing to kind of remember about this whole damn thing is that we are not pissed off. We are not angry at God. We're not pissed off or angry at religion. We're pissed off and angry at what the people are doing. You know how the old expression is, hate the sin, love the sinner. We love our fellow man. But you fucking piss us off by going ahead and saying, I've got this book, and you have to follow my book because I have to. I forget who it was, but I believe it was Mark Twain, who said, and I'm paraphrasing now, very, very highly paraphrasing, telling somebody else that they need to be on a I forget exactly how it was, but it was basically
if you... Can I help with this, Susan?
Sure.
the way I saw put that best that helped me out with this was, it's like going to a restaurant and ordering cake, and the person at the next, you know, going waiter, waiter, I would like cake. Person at the next table goes, waiter, my religion says I'm not allowed to have cake. Cancel his cake.
That's a good way of putting it. I'm not allowed to have steak because that baby over there can't have steak. That's effectively what it comes down to. Look, if you don't like people having a marriage between people who have the same sexual makeup, don't get married to somebody who's got the same sexual makeup as you. Telling somebody else that they are not allowed to do it because your books of rules says that you're not supposed to do it is unfair in the absolute highest regard. Absolutely so.
You're absolutely correct on that. I think the last count I saw was 21 top major religions. And then you have to understand that a lot of those religions, and Christianity is just a prime example, so that's why I'm going to use it.
Big time.
Where there's lots of different faction versions of it. And with Christianity, I think it's like one of the biggest spreads of different variations, of over 40,000 different variations. Now, each one of those variations are saying that they're absolutely true, and if you don't believe theirs, then you're going to hell. That means you have a one, and just theirs alone, you have one in a chance of 39,999 of being right and not going to hell.
Yeah, so, that's just
Christianity. And then people say, oh, Christianity is about love. It's like, no, Jesus died for original sin. He didn't die for the rest of the stuff. He talked about in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, there was Corinthians, I believe, mentioned it.
No, Corinthians was written by Peter, though.
Oh, I'm sorry, Peter. Okay, so the book of Peter. There were at least five different books that all talked about how Jesus specifically stated, now each of them used different wording, but when you get to the meaning of the words that they used and then the sequence of the words that they used it in, it all states the same thing, which is he did not come there to change the old laws. He came there to tell you that, listen, these people can teach you the old laws from the Old Testament, but they're not adhering to the rules that they're teaching you, so don't behave like them. Behave like the rules say. Now, the rules say that when you come across a person like me, and you try to preach to me, and I refuse to convert, well, some of those laws actually say that you need to kill me. So, you see, I'm not trying to not be your friend. Your religion is trying to enforce upon you the concept of either convert me or either go, ignore me or kill me, depending on certain criteria. But there are instructions on there on how to kill me, whether to hang me, whether to stone me, things like that. Now, listen, no offense, I like to meet people's friends. I love to meet new people. But when I meet you and you go, hey, have you heard about the works of Jesus? It's like, yeah, I have, and he's a sick motherfucker.
Yeah.
Have you found Jesus? No, come help me look. Come on.
No, but that bastard owes me $2.
And I want my $2. Okay.
$2.
Speaking of two, some of you are familiar with Two the Ranting Griffin. If you don't know who Two the Ranting Griffin is, go and look him up over on YouTube. He's got a lot of stuff that he's gone ahead and he said.
And it's more not safe for work than we are.
Oh, hell yeah. So for Two specifically, because I know Two's watching. Two, I love you. You're a wonderful individual. You're a great human being. I absolutely adore all the stuff that you do, and your head is all nice and shiny. But motherfucker, don't you ever goddamn say and put it out there where people can actually refer to it, only we agnostics have got it right.
Wait, did he say that?
Oh, he said this a while ago. Okay, let me clarify a second. To the Ranting Griffin is one of the people in the furry communities. And we're going to talk about that one too because there's somebody. Oh, believe me, there's something that's going on this one. Which he knows where I'm going. Which he knows right where I'm going. Anyway, so at one point in one of the videos, To the Ranting Griffin, who is actually, among other things, a stand-up comedian, professional, and done fairly well for himself, too. And, you know, good on that.
He must be a ball at airports.
Don't even get started on that one. But he said in one of his I don't remember which video it was or what rant it was. He actually said somewhere that only we agnostics are the ones who have got it right. Bullshit, motherfucker, and I can call you out on this one because you obviously did not understand what the term means. Agnostic is whether or not you can actually learn about something. We atheists are the ones who are saying, I'm not convinced yet. We're the ones that have got it right, motherfucker. Ain't you, if you're calling yourself an agnostic, because it's an agnostic, you're the type of person who is basically saying, we can't learn about this thing, so there's nothing else after that. That's what agnostic is. Do I know? Can I not know? And, no, you're either an atheist or you're a theist. Although you could go ahead and actually say anti-theist, because if zero is atheist, there is. So make up your fucking mind. Oh, and which, yes, I see. Thank you.
You're I'm exactly sorry. Right. When somebody throws a Hail Mary pass at an atheist football game, do they get a penalty?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because the label doesn't fucking matter. We can call Christmas Christmas. And this is something that I learned from Seth, from the interviewing Seth a while ago from The Thinking Atheist. There's nothing wrong with calling, forgive me, this is one of the few times I'll ever do it, Christmas, Christmas. Because it's the same as saying that you're wearing blue jeans, or you're wearing Levi's, or you're wearing Wranglers, or you're wearing Yves Saint Laurent, whatever the fuck the name of it is, but it's all blue jeans. It's just one brand name. And there's nothing wrong with calling something by a brand name. Kleenex is a brand name, but it's all facial tissue. You could call them Tucks, but they're still wet ass wipes. It doesn't really much matter. It's all, it's what you want to call it. The label doesn't matter. What it actually is, does. And I'm not angry. It's just, Jesus motherfucking Christ. It just,
by the way, so, speaking of religious holidays, since we have one coming up here, I just wanted to let people who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and are going to go celebrate Easter at your church and prayer and all that other fun celebration stuff. I hate to tell you, you're doing the exact opposite that your Savior asked you to do. He did not want you doing things like that. He specifically stated so in the Bible, and if you don't remember it, you need to go back and read it again because he actually stated that. And by the way, Easter was absorbed into Catholicism by the saint, by the guy who was called Saint. What was that guy's name?
You know what? It doesn't really much matter.
It doesn't matter. It was absorbed into Catholicism, and Easter was actually the celebration of a fertility goddess. Her name is spelled Ishtar, and even though it says Ishtar, it's like what she said. It's pronounced Easter. Her symbols were the egg and the bunny rabbit. Because she was the goddess of sex and fertility. All those wonderful things that you Catholics and Christians are so worried about in everybody else's bedroom because you're not getting enough of your own.
Well, that's because you're only supposed to do it in order to repopulate the planet like a virus. Duh, Bunny.
Well, at 4 billion people, I think we're with the repopulation part.
No, Bunny, turning it over to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were insinuating something about the species I choose to represent myself as a furry. No, I mean, it's for me, well, my whole thing with Easter, which is a quote-unquote arguably the holiest day of the year, and first off, you're almost right, Tech. Jesus, the thing that Jesus did command them people, the his followers to do in remembrance of him is what is effectively the Holy Communion. Catholics do it once a week. Jehovah's Witnesses do it once a year. But it is a scene. That said, yeah, I mean, to steal a bit from Robin Williams.
Yeah, he didn't want any holidays after him or anything.
No, like. I agree. But to steal a bit from Robin Williams, what else are the Catholics going to do? They can't put raspberry jam in the grass and go, come on, kids, we're looking for Jesus.
I didn't hear that one. I have not heard that one.
Seriously, because you can't let people go, that's not good.
If you really want to find Jesus, what we'll do is we'll go across country and we'll just start looking at crosses until we find one with somebody nailed to it.
I could make a really, really terrible joke involving Home Depot, but I won't.
You mean Hobby Lobby?
I'm glad I wasn't the one who was going to go there.
I heard Hobby Lobby is now selling sanctified nails.
Wow. Well,
yeah,
you know
apparently if you don't feel discriminated enough, you can go hang yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what they can use to nail themselves to that fucking cross they've got themselves up on in front of the Supreme Court, man.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue for in just a couple of moments. We'll get to that in a second.
Why aren't there any good atheist Christmas carols?
There is one, but we'll come back to that. Ross, by the way, is wonderful with throwing a whole bunch of questions. If I just summarily delete them, please forgive me. It's because it's just you give us stuff,
and Ross, there's nothing wrong with that. And thank you.
Oh yeah,
we absolutely love it. We love that you're having fun with this with us tonight. Don't stop, but you do throw a lot at us, so we can't always get to it all.
Okay, there's one you can throw out. When atheists say the opening prayer at an atheist convention, who do you pray to? That's just it. There's nobody to pray to. We don't have an opening prayer. What we do is we get around in a huddle, we all whip our dicks out, see who's got the biggest one, that person's in charge, and we have the opening games.
The worst part about the whole thing is the chick that won it last year, Jesus motherfucking Christ, that was a pain in the ass. Well, not that I was there for the pain in the ass part. I heard Heath was, though. So we can ask him.
Oh God!
So
turtle
one of the questions was: when people find out you're atheist, do they send you fruitcake for Christmas? Actually, no. And by the way, use the wrong version of your. So you might want to try harder next time on that one. So there you go. I said if you weren't pissed off by the time it got done, something's wrong. Actually. In seriousness, though, there are a number of times when people will hear that atheists are atheists, or minimally non-theists, which I know is kind of splitting hairs just a little bit, and forgive me for that. But there are times when people will say in different terms that we're fruitcakes because we don't agree, or more appropriately, that we don't agree with the same thing any longer. And being called being called a fruitcake for that would arguably be the second nicest thing that anybody could possibly say about it. The first nicest thing would be to not say anything about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And forgive me, I'm realizing that my eyebrow thing goes on a hell of a lot more than I expect. I apologize for that. It's not intentional, believe it or not.
At some point, you need to look at the video for Gustavo Almodovar. All right.
Is that the dancing eyebrows?
Kind of, not really. There was in Florida a field reporter named Gustavo Almodovar. Except his sign off, literally every single time went Gustavo Almodovar, and someone put together a compilation of all of his sign offs. It's about 3 minutes long, and after a while, it just gets fucking hilarious. So you're not nearly as bad as some Shijin.
Richie, you got to send us the links later.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
And we'll see if we can get those links into the description for you guys too.
There is one thing I want to address real quick.
Sure.
At a lot of the jokes that I know Ross is talking out, he's talking. I can't remember if Ross is a woman or a man. But Ross is tossing out some stuff.
Hold on,
I was going to say he I was going to say he because I'm a guy, and then I realized, oh, crap, if Ross is a woman, I'm going to screw that up.
Before you go into that, by the way, folks that do want to go ahead and contribute on the stream, on the Q&A system, we will refer to you by a first name typically or a last name. We will not use a full name of whatever shows up simply to help protect anonymity to a certain degree. If you specifically say, call me by blah, that's fine. We will go ahead and do that. I don't think the Q&A system is actually included in the videos, so I believe everything is cool on that one. So only the people who are actually in and watching and contributing would be able to see who it is that's doing and participating. So there you go.
Well, anyway, oh, shit. Where the hell was I? Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't do that.
You do realize I'm being facetious, right?
I know, you're just joking. One of the things I wanted to address was Ross had made a lot of statements about how atheists are mad. And I know they were jokes and everything else, but then it tripped a memory in the back of my head where I've noticed that there are actually pamphlets that go around to kids who are encouraged to go knocking on door-to-door to spread prayer and their religion and everything else.
Yeah.
And it says, if you come across somebody who's an atheist, don't talk to them, you know. Run away, basically, is what it says, because they're grumpy and they're angry and they'll hurt you. And really what it is they're afraid of the fact that we use logic and clear and concise language and powers of observation, things like that, you know. But we're not actually mad. We're not grumpy. Now, when you come across somebody who identifies as an atheist who is grumpy, especially when they're hearing somebody preach religion, it's probably because they've already told that person 3 or 4 times, listen, I don't want to hear it. You want to talk about something else, not a problem. You want to mow my lawn, I'll pay you. You want me to mow your lawn, you can pay me. But I don't want to hear about your religion anymore. I've been there, I've done that, I'm not interested, and they still won't shut up. So think about the most annoying person you have ever personally met in person, not over the TV or computer, but somebody you actually know. And now imagine having them talk to you about something that you have no interest in talking to them about, and they won't stop, and they won't go away. So that's what happens, and, you know, other people see it as, oh, they're atheists, they're angry, they're grumpy, and they're mad at the world. No, they're not. We're just tired of being bothered and trying to constantly be converted into something that we've already figured out for ourselves we want nothing to do with. But as in most atheists themselves are more than happy to say, hey, listen, you know what? If you want to hear why I'm an atheist, sit down, we'll grab a drink, we'll talk about it, and but as long as you don't get high and mighty on me, I won't be snide with you. You know, things like that. They'll treat you like a real human being, but you have to treat them like a human being. And a lot of religious texts, unless you're of that faith, they specifically instruct their followers not to treat other people like normal human beings. They're beneath them. That's how their texts instruct them. And it's ingrained in them in the very nature of their religions. Even if their pastors don't use the words to specifically say it, or priests or rabbis, whoever, you see it in how other people act around people of different backgrounds. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
It's a stigma. It's a stereotype. Yes, eventually you will probably come across an atheist who is truly mad at the world, who identifies as an atheist because maybe they really are mad at God. But you're not going to find a lot of those. Those are typically rare. People who truly identify as atheists, they've done the logical thinking for that process.
Yeah, and typically, not always, not even close, but typically, somebody who is angry at something, who identifies as an atheist, typically would have gone through something where they legitimately are angry about something. As somebody best put it, you kick somebody around for 1,500 years, and you see at the end of that just how nice and genteel they're going to be to you, and you've got the nerve to be surprised about this? Who in the hell knows? There was something over on Imageral that was brilliant by Nathan Anderson. who said this, and basically this sums it up. I have a level 85 Dwarven Paladin and 82 Shadow Priest, and I'm currently leveling a warrior through Nordrin, although I spend most of my time tanking instances in the Dungeon Finder. I've held off on getting Mists of Pandaria because I got burned out on endgame progression after Wraith of the Lich King and the Cataclysm Continent is still new to me. Plus, monks seem redundant in an era of dual specialization and viable hybrid DPS. And while I know that we're well established in the lore, Pandaren don't appeal to me. So I'm wrapping up a Tanuka quest line in the bordering tundra, trying to determine if I should go to Dragonblight or Grizzly Hills, and now you know how I feel when you won't shut up about sports. It's the same thing with religion.
I was trying to figure what the hell you're talking about in the first place. I may be a nerd, but I have no idea what the hell you just said.
Witchy, you're the gamer of the group. Did that actually make some kind of sense?
Actually, yes, it did.
What was that, WoW?
No, it was D&D.
Well, it was a combination of D&D and WoW. D&D and
WoW. Yeah, that's true. It was.
I was going to say, because I understood when they were talking about monks, because I played D&D 3.5, but there were a lot of names that I just didn't...
It sounded like
something out of WoW.
Yeah, it was a combination of WoW and D&D, but no, okay. It made sense in the same way my babbling about Japanese can kind of make sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're passingly familiar with it.
Yeah, exactly. So if you go ahead and you talk and you talk and you talk and you talk and you talk, talking about the same goddamn thing, we know. We've heard it. We've read it. And therein is something, oh, God. Somebody remind me the quote, "We've read it," so that I can come back to that in a second. Question that Ross came up with: why aren't there any good atheist Christmas carols? There are! Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. No reference whatsoever to deities. Well, other than Santa, perhaps.
Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah,
it was all magic.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Exactly. Yeah. Santa Claus. Now, Santa Claus, believe it or not, isn't even Catholic. Santa Claus is...
Well, no, wait a second.
Eastern Orthodox.
So,
no, there was... I'm talking about the original. The original...
Yes.
There was one who was... he could lay down, like... He could fight and... Well, never mind.
Okay, now you're starting to make me think of Tiamat, and it's completely not where we're supposed to be going at this point.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, all right, so the... Oh,
well, the Christmas holiday itself is actually Wiccan. The tree and the wreath and all that other shit.
They had to convert the pagans somehow. Why not just roll it up into Christianity and say this is what you're celebrating now? Oh, wait.
See, honestly, I think if we're going to celebrate these holidays, we should celebrate them in relation to what they are. Like Easter, the celebration of fertility. You know, you should be spending time with your significant other. And if you don't have one, well, you've got your right hand and your left hand. Take a pick.
Now, here's where it gets to be fun. Penn Jillette, who is more than half of Penn and Teller, and he'll tell you that himself, had said, this actually comes around to the whole fertility thing. The question came up about, as an atheist, not having morals from the Bible, wouldn't you be going out there and raping and killing and stealing from people? And he says, as a matter of fact, yes, I rape and pillage and kill as many people as I want to. That number is zero. So when these fertility rates come up, guess how many of us, for the most part, go out there and rape people because it's the estrous cycle. For the most part, the number is, say it with me, gang, zero.
-1.
Well, here's my question. Here's my
Stop
thing about
irrational,
that.
Stop being irrational, goddammit.
Yes, he got it. Woo!
Here's my thing about that. If it takes laws or religion or something to basically make you not do something like that, then you're kind of a shit person.
Yeah. If I need a religious text to tell me that it's a really bad idea to go out and rape and murder and pillage, unless, of course, I'm doing in the name of the religion, that I'm a bad person, because, you know, if I'm doing it in the name of the religion, obviously I'm a good person. I have bigger issues at hand.
Yeah. See, the it still comes up to one of the old arguments. Is it good or bad because the God says so? Or is the God saying so because it's good or bad, as the case may be? Either way, it's a crap argument, really, and truly and utterly so. Is something good because the God says so? Well, what happens if the God changes his mind? And don't give me the bullshit answer of that. Well, that's not in his nature. Bullshit! Have you not read your motherfucking book? And by the way, there it is. I read the whole thing. Have you? Seriously. If you are religious, have you actually read and comprehended your book?
I'm actually going to let you guys in
on a little secret here. Have you guys ever heard of a youth organization called Young Life?
No, bud.
It's a Christian youth group. Okay. I was part of it for about a year and a half in Virginia. One of my buddies I actually had a religious debate with today, he's a good guy. He really is. He's very heavily into the positive side of religion, not the negative stuff. He's all about the peace and love and whatnot. So he's basically harmless, but he still likes to pray for people. So he still is going to pray for my soul and all that fun shit.
So basically the UU.
Right. Well, the Christian youth group was, Young Life was designed to get kids together to not only have a social group, but to have a religious-based social group. And at some point they actually handed out books completely free. And I asked them, I said, well, what is it? And they go, well, it's kind of like the New Testament. I said, so it's the Bible? So I said, so it's the Bible? And they go, not exactly. And what it was is they had taken key sections of the New Testament and had added notation and explanation to different chapters and things like that.
I think I've heard about
that. That's what they wanted you to focus on. So I actually had a whole Bible, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, all in one big bad boy. So I was using that, and they're like, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, you know, if I'm going to read the book, I might as well read the damn book, you know, the big book. And they're like, well, which version do you have? And now, ironically, I actually had the King James version. I've read other versions, too. The King James version was my first one. And they said, oh, how can you understand that? That one's very complicated. You should focus on our book. So you see what they're doing there? And this is not uncommon. I believe it or not, for a little while there, I was a born-again Christian, and I did move up the ranks in the Christian youth organization of Young Life, and I was actually a campaigner for a while until I got thrown out of it because I argued with the lady who was trying to tell us how Magic the Gathering was going to make us burn in hell.
Okay. By the way, before you go on, I'm sorry. I'm gonna put my my microphone on mute for a second because I need to find a marker for a demonstration that I want to show in a couple of moments. I'm gonna leave the camera automatic. So whichever one of you is talking is going to have the camera focused. So I'll be right back.
I'm actually going to step in here and kind of build on your point here, Tech, because the Jehovah's Witnesses tend to do a very similar thing where they go, okay, so the Bible, read the Bible. You need to read the Bible and understand it. And then, you know, because, you know, they have the publications, the Awake and the Watchtower and everything. Then they go, wait, you've read the Bible, but that the Watchtower is there to tell you how to interpret and understand the Bible. So don't actually read the Bible. Read the Watchtower. We'll tell you how to understand the Bible. Because, you know, people who actually read the Bible and don't read the Watchtower end up going back to, you know, behaving like those other Christians over there. And I'm just... Now, and I'm just like,
go ahead.
I'm just like, I'm just kind of like, So you're telling us to read the Bible, but we can't trust our own interpretation of the Bible, so therefore we have to trust what you tell us about the Bible, which means that really we're not reading the Bible, we're reading you telling us what the Bible says.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah. And I mean the worst part is it's when that's going on, they catch people when they're still in that stage of, I'll believe anything a large group of people tell me is true, because it's a large group of people telling me it's true. And they, you know, there's a lot of people who reach high school and they still don't have the concept of skepticism or how to informed questions and make informed decisions. They're still letting other people lead them around. And that's how I fell into Young Life. I mean, I really was at that stage. I was very gullible. I will admit that. There are things, aspects of my life I am still gullible about, but as far as being an atheist, no. I've done the research. I've thought about it. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. And I've come to realize with everything that I've learned that, no, there's no God. You know, it's like what Noah said from Scathing Atheist. If there was a God and that God was really worried about me praying and worshiping him or her, then that omnipotent being, as everybody says it is, would understand what it would take to make me convert out and stop being an atheist and start focusing on the one true religion, if there is one, to that particular God. And that has not happened. And unless it does happen, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, and for those of you that are kind of wondering about it, on that particular episode a couple back, it was about theistic tropes. The idea of the sublime, simple, small changes that would give us some kind of pause was a wonderful answer. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. That would be great. And if ever we could actually take that information, if we were to find that information ourselves and shove it under the nose of the Amish Wolverine himself, he would actually have to go ahead and do it.
Well,
yes,
don't
that fucker in there.
Don't forget, you need his congregation, the Ex-Mennonites.
Yes, exactly right. So, all right, question to come up. The way you're talking, Jesus would spit in his grave if he were still in it. How about this? How ironic would it be to go ahead and put Jesus spinning in his grave, wrapped up in a whole bunch of wire, and just suspend him in a magnetic field so we could have an unlimited supply of electricity, which is something that was never discussed in the Bible itself.
Well, you know, if there was an unlimited supply of electricity, an omnipotent being would have to know about that to put it in the Bible, just like there's nothing in the Bible that says contraceptives are wrong, because if contraceptives were wrong, a being that knew everything that was going to happen would have made sure it got in there.
Yeah, and they kind of touched on that on the last Scathing Atheist.
No, the only person who didn't kind of touching was the one who was sex and pulled out and came all over her face.
You went there.
Or was it her back? It was either her face or her back. I mean,
you know what? Noah went there for actually no. Come to think of it, was it Noah?
I think it was Heath.
No, it was. You know what? Doesn't
that sounds
matter.
Like something Heath would. That sounds like someplace Heath would go, not Noah.
Yeah, all we can say for certain is it wasn't Lucinda.
Oh no! I think if Lucinda had said something like that, I think my coworkers would have been wondering what I was doing on the floor, laughing my ass off.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. So we've got that.
Every time she giggles, it's just like, ooh, do it again.
Okay, now all I'm right. Feeling a little jealous.
Why? Because when she giggles?
No, never mind.
No.
Moment's ruined.
It's about auditory for me.
I understand. Moment's still ruined. That's okay, though. Right.
I want to go ahead and I want to demonstrate something to folks. And I want to specifically call out Yogg, who is an artist over in Canada. And it was because of him that I actually got started using the Sharpie of Doom trademark. So I want you guys to take a look at this for a second. And there is actually a reason for it. Now, if you'd like to know, you have no idea about this one. I want you to consider this a second. Try to imagine for a moment, I created this actual piece of paper, just for argument's sake for a second.
So in other words, imagine that you cut down a tree, you turned it to pulp, you added the whitener to it and all that other, and the glue and everything else.
Yes, right? Just for a second, because that is something that's doable.
I'm just asking if you're doing it that way or materializing it out of thin air.
No, exactly right. All right.
Okay.
I've created this piece of paper, and using ink out of the Sharpie of Doom trademark.
What the stupid approach?
I created this person. Now, if I took the time, I could get multiple pieces of paper and layer them one after the other, after the other, after the other, and draw the next step in the scene, and the next step in the scene, and the next step in the scene. A flipbook is what comes to mind. And you take a flipbook and you create a moving picture. You've created a single character in the expanse of a universe that you have designed and you have drawn out for this character. This character, if you look at it in that context, would be alive in the context of that area that you've built, you've created, all those layers, all that paper, all that ink, creating that new piece of life that believes in its time, in its space, in where it lives, that it is real. It has feelings. It experiences emotions. It experiences the life that you have drawn out for it over time.
So is that what's called a retroactive abortion?
No. Consider this a second. I am the god of this universe that I have just taken this one person and killed them. If my morality were such that it was above and beyond the understanding of the creation that I made with my own time and energy, does that make this an act that cannot be railed against by those that live in the rest of the universe that I've just ripped apart, the life that I've just stopped in its tracks? Should the rest of everything else that I drew in this universe be allowed to say, I'm hurt, you shouldn't have done that, you've stopped a life that I was enjoying? Or does it not matter because it's just a bunch of pictures that have been drawn? Even though for this character, that universe, that life was real and experiential.
In theory, you've created a two-dimensional being that supposedly, in theory, cannot truly observe a three-dimensional being, just the way as a three-dimensional being cannot observe a fourth-dimensional being.
So a flatlander is what you're saying.
I was thinking a Darwinian, but okay.
I have the game Darwinian, too, but that's just as an aside, that's not entirely as accurate as what you're going, because the Darwinians are two-dimensional beings who exist in a three-dimensional world. Flatlanders are more, well,
okay.
Cosmos.
Oh, Mario Paper. Say, there we go.
Yeah.
So. Mario
Paper. But I need to think about that, Shujin, because that was actually kind of a powerful demonstration.
Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. If we are able to create a life like that, where it's either computer generated or traditionally generated, like a flipbook, the same way that every 24 seconds, 24 frames of celluloid are photographed one on top of the other. And these are characters in a universe that we've created, that we've determined what they're going to do, every piece, that's one way to look at it. But
the user has won.
What happens when we, as the creator of that universe, of that life, of all of those, every individual character, every little tweeting bird, when we say, you're gone, and cut it up, or stop it, or whatever. Are we above the morality to not be determined if we're good or bad because we've just ripped that across and killed that life form? Now, we could, of course, write that in such a way that suddenly the person just no longer exists, is just gone, and nobody has noticed. Is that life no longer meaningful? Does it matter? This is one of those real weird existential questions, because there have been so many times, and there is actually something not safe for work about this. There are so many times when I have heard fuckers, and I use the term exclusively for this one. Sorry, no. Intentionally is what I'm looking for. Intentionally for this one. Your morality cannot determine what the morality of God is, because his knowledge, his experience, he is above us on so many different planes that we can't, with our morality system, we cannot comprehend what God can do. And yet I've demonstrated exactly that kind of thing. A character that I have drawn, crappily so, would have no way of knowing who or what I was that created the universe in which he existed, and I've just gone ahead and just killed it.
Well, hey, there's another version of that. If you've ever watched The Twilight Zone, the Rod Serling stories, there was an episode where a man was able to create a people. He was able to create women. Well, he only demonstrated making two women, but supposedly he created Rod Serling at the end of the story. What happened was is he would talk into an old-fashioned tape recorder using a handheld microphone, and he would describe the person in detail, and the person would basically materialize. Then what he would do is he would snip the tape and stuff that portion of the tape in the envelope, and that was the person. If he threw it in the fire, the person disappeared. But one thing that was demonstrated was when he recreated that person in detail again, they had the memories of before they went into the fire. And one lady who was created and disposed of, because he was hiding her from his wife, asked him to please not do that anymore. And what he was doing is he was demonstrating to his wife that he had such power and that he had actually created his wife. And finally, and she didn't believe him. You know, she didn't believe him. She took the envelope with the tape in it that had her name on it, threw it in the fire, and poof, she disappeared, faded out of existence. And then, of course, you know, he was happy with the woman that he recreated. And Rod Serling comes on, and Rod Serling saying, after all, it is just a story. And the guy stands and goes, Rod, I'm surprised in you. And he goes over to safe, pulls out the envelope with Rod's name on it, throws it in the fire, and Rod starts to disappear. But, you know, it brings up a good point. You know, if you create something and then destroy it and bring it back, will it have the memory of just prior to the destruction? Will it understand why you're doing it? Does it judge you for doing it? Can it comprehend why you're doing it? Well, in this case, yes, they could comprehend it.
And do they have the right to, is one of the other arguments, which pisses me off too.
Right. Does that man have the right, after creating them, to throw them in the fire and their tape in the fire and destroy them? Because without the tape, they don't exist. That recording of his words, of his feelings during the descriptive phase, since he bought the tape, it was manufactured by another company, but he bought the tape, he paid his own money for it. Does he have the right, after creating a living entity using that tape, to destroy the tape, even though he knows it will destroy the entity?
Yeah, it gets to be really wild. Bun, were you going to be chiming in at this point? I see you muted out at the moment.
Yeah, no, you guys are... I actually have thinking to do on this subject. So you guys keep going.
Okay.
I watched a lot of Twilight Zone growing up. So did I.
But the problem with me and existential questions is they bury pretty deep in my head and stay there. So expect me to start talking about this in about 6 months to a year after I've had some time to give it sufficient rumination.
Well, how about let's move off the existential. I have one here. A friend of mine sent me a picture. And it's a circle of three arrows, and I don't know how to get this stuff on the screen. My resolution's really crappy. Thank you, Com Crap. You're craptastic.
Is it something that you can link me to? And I can put it up?
It's on my phone. It's something I can actually read because it's words. And just imagine a circle of three arrows all going in a circle. Mm-hmm. And it's the first arrow says, the Bible is the word of God. And then in quotes, but how can you be sure it's the word of God? So then the next arrow says, because the Bible tells us so. And then in quotes, but why believe the Bible? And then the third arrow says, the Bible is infallible. But how do you know it's infallible? And then it goes back to, the Bible is the word of God. It just keeps going in circular logic. And most religions are absolutely guilty of this.
Oh, absolutely.
They never answer the question. Crap.
Yeah, and it's a crap argument. It's crap logic. And if you're using it, you should stop.
Absolutely. You're making a fool out of yourself when you do that, because what most people don't realize is atheists had, like Sujin said, and like Witchy said, we've been down that road. We know the arguments. There's a high probability we've already heard them.
And used them.
More than once. And yeah, we probably used them back during the days when we had not reached the age of reason yet. Thank you for that one, George Carlin. But the point is that if you use circular logic, if you constantly change your argument to try to sidestep logical retorts or quests or real questions asking for a more in-depth answer from you that you can't give, what's happening is you're proving yourself to be somebody who does not know what they are talking about. Now, if somebody were to come to the door, knock on my door, and actually had read the Bible from front to back and was still a Christian and wanted to preach the Word of God to me, I would tell them, hey, listen, you know what? You can discuss your beliefs if you're willing to let me discuss mine. And if you want to have a logical, calm, relaxed argument, because arguments don't mean that you have a negative emotion or you get angry. Argument means that two people or more are having disagreeing viewpoints and they're discussing it. Mm-hmm. So argument doesn't have to mean angry and yelling. Okay, that's a violent argument. And they want to have an argument and they want to have a logical discussion and everything else, I'm more than open to that. But once you devolve into circular logic, sidestepping issues, adding emotion into it, and proving that you don't know what you're talking about, I'm going to call you for the bullshit you're spouting and tell you to please leave. And if you don't leave, well, then I might just have to get naked and show you the truffle shuffle.
To put it in a better context, you absolutely have the right to speak your mind. You do not, however, have the right to force me to listen to it. Always remember that.
The truffle shuffle. No, never mind.
From Goonies.
We'll talk about it later, I promise.
But with my dangly bits hanging out and flapping back and forth, like a grandfather clock. Bong, 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 bong.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Ever so
you want
much.
Some brain bleach?
She's just quiet the market.
Yes. So
I think I might be channeling heat.
Mm-hmm. So anybody that would like to join us next week, we're going to have an open spot because we're going to kick him off. Thanks ever so much. All right, we're getting pretty close on to actually closing up shop. So let me see what you guys have got in particular that you want to go ahead and specifically hit on here. Bunny, Other than decking him, what would you like to do?
I can't get the image out of my head. I feel like I've been showing this finger a lot tonight.
Since atheists don't believe in God or the devil, who do you root for in The Exorcist?
The little girl.
Yeah. The cleaning lady.
Actually, I believe the correct answer is the special effects guy, because he doesn't get nearly enough appreciation for utilizing something as simple as soup to make people go,
Actually, I would like to nominate the guy who was working on the cage as the video guy, who stayed up and put in the extra long hours, not realizing that the Orion slave girl was supposed to be green and kept turning her flesh colored after every test.
Wow. Oh, God.
Do you know that story, Shu?
Oh, absolutely I do. You want to do it really fast?
Basically, when they were first screening for The Cage, which was the initial pilot episode of Star Trek, they had, you know, the Orion slave girl, and of course she's green with black hair, blah, 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 and every time they ran this footage next day, she was nice and pink and flesh-colored, and they couldn't figure it out. Like, you know, was it type of makeup? Was it, like, you know, what they were using? Like, so they just, like, kept filming these scenes, and she kept coming out nice and pink and flesh-colored. And
finally, wait a second. A piece two of that. They kept making her more and more more garlishly green.
Mm-hmm. And you know, she just kept coming out flesh-toned. And finally, they go to the guy who's, like, processing the film. They go, okay, so maybe you can help us. We can't understand why, you know, she's supposed to be green and she keeps coming out flesh. And Shujin, what did the guy say?
She's supposed to be green?
He had been working overtime every night putting her back to flesh tones because he thought it was an error in the film.
Yep. See, this is why communication is a good thing. But that's got nothing to do with atheism. Well, I guess technically it could have something to do with atheism because...
reasons. I really don't have anything else to hit on tonight.
Sure. Tech, before we go ahead and we bang out this list of questions and we break people, any last thing you want to specifically knock out at this point?
Yeah, for anybody who has heard me rant before about how certain religions are violent, and they say, oh, no, there's no violence in it, and here's a prime, wonderful example. You have a Christian evangelical pastor, priest, I don't know what his title was, up in Canada. And anybody reading the news or watching the news may have actually heard this. And this man has deemed Bill Maher, who has proclaimed to be an atheist, and he is a television personality on a paid channel, a channel that you have to pay for to get in the first place, namely HBO, which means if you're not paying for it, he's not going to show up on your TV. And you have to turn to the channel to watch him. In other words, you're not being forced. You actually have to actively participate in it. And this man, and I use the term loosely, is asking for Bill Maher to be summarily punished according to the scriptures put down in the Bible, specifically the Old Testament, which, as we know in the New Testament, Jesus Christ actually admitted that the Old Testament rules still do apply. So for his background, this evangelical guy up in Canada is actually staying true to his religion. And he is some of the things that he mentioned that Bill Maher have to go through is, like, there was 6 months of torture, getting a hot poker through the tongue. And the wonderful part was when he told him, he mentioned that he needs to be hung up, you know, literally as in hanged by the neck with a rope until dead. He was actually calling for the death of Bill Maher because Bill Maher had the audacity to blaspheme in the name of God. Now, here's something that most people don't realize when they're religious, is that when somebody who does not believe in your religion says something that your religion says is blasphemy, well, it's not blasphemy to that person because they're not part of your religion. So if I make fun of What's that Islamic figure, Abraham or whatever his name is? Anyway, the one that the cartoonist made a comic strip of, and
I know who you're talking about.
I'm not Islamic. Okay, I don't follow the path of Islam. If I make fun of somebody, guess what? I make fun of somebody. If your religion turns out to be true, I'll get punished. You don't need to go around doing that for some almighty deity. It's just like Christianity. If I make fun of Jehovah or Yahweh or Jesus Christ, your job is not to go around and kill me for it. Your job is to either try to pray for my soul or forgive me or all that other fun shit. But, you're going to have a bad day if you come at me with a rope, because I do know self-defense and I will not be afraid to use lethal force. So don't think your God's going to protect you just because you're living up to your end of the Bible or your book with the Quran or whatever it is that you feel it is that you have to follow. So mellow out, people. Shut the fuck up. Not everybody believes the same thing that you do. And if you can't get over that, maybe you should just go kill yourself.
And to kind of go with that a little bit, there is an expression that there are no atheists in foxholes. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them is, because if you truly believed that your God was going to save your ass from every bullet, you'd get up out of that foxhole and you'd walk across absolutely unscathed and be able to walk over to the others and say, "Oh, let me touch you on the forehead so my God can go ahead and kill you with the power of... Oh, bullet hole? Oh, sorry. I'll be back.
The power of Christ compels you. Oh, look, I have a hole through my kidneys."
Man, it's just the same size as that 50 caliber sniper rifle over there. Amazing how that happens. Witchy, 50 cal sniper, how big is the hole?
Entry or exit wound?
I don't really think it matters at that point, do you?
No.
It's like the difference between an African and European swallow.
I'm not answering that. I'm not going into a crevasse. Thank you.
Thank you very kindly. Yes.
Not going to talk about swallowing? Swallows? I mean, swallows?
Good night, sorry, everybody.
That was a slip of the tongue.
No. Bunny, you're not allowed yet. We're not done. You can't.
I think I broke the bunny.
Yeah,
that's
something like that.
Twice tonight.
Bunny's here right now. If you'd like to leave your name. I listened to Friday's show, by the way. That was funny.
By the way, do you remember that question you asked me before we started?
The answer's no, right?
We're still going to talk. It might not be a good talk, but we're still going to talk.
Oh, you do, Witchy, I do want to put this out here real quick while we're on the open and in front of our audience.
Yeah, all three of you are out there watching.
I am one of those people, and yes, there is a type, and I do fit in this category, that when I like a person as a friend, I will pick on them. But I will always do so in a good-natured manner, and I will always make sure that they understand that it is being done in a good-natured manner. If
hold
I
on.
Don't like
tech,
you,
tech.
I on. Won't talk to you.
Tech, hold on. Shujin. Do I give as good as I get?
I'm clarifying this for you, Witchy. I'm clarifying this for the audience.
Okay.
So that you don't think that I'm just a complete jerk off.
Oh, no. If I thought you were a jerk, I wouldn't be on the show.
Yeah. And we are all close enough, well enough understanding with each other that we will interact this way because we can. And we know that we can. So, we folks that are watching, if you would like to throw us a bone, so to speak, to get us all to go after each other, by all means, feel free. I mean, it's always a good thing. In the meantime, however, we are going to end up closing out of here momentarily. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bang through these questions that Ross has been posting up, because question and answer time is always fun. Let's see just how many of these we can get through. Actually, we can get through all of these really fastly. And you guys, you want to go ahead and say something on it? Cool. Knocking them out one at a time. No. Question. Since In God We Trust is on our money, do atheists prefer Bitcoin?
No, we prefer the loony.
We... there's a reason why. It's because you have to really work hard at it if you're working on the strip pole in order to get it out of my mouth.
I'm gonna say no to the Bitcoin just because I work in the tech sector and I've been watching what's been going on with security. And goodbye. No, I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, no, that crap was nuts. Next.
Yeah, in all truthfulness, if we were going to go ahead and invest in any monies, in all seriousness, we would be investing specifically in gold because
I'd be investing in silver.
Well, gold has traditionally held its value better longer, and if there's one thing that we atheists understand, it's better is longer is better. So
next, I think that's enough.
Okay,
that would make me a god. I'm just saying.
No. Question: do atheists feel left out of the church because it doesn't have a patron saint of atheists? No, and the reason why is because the Catholic Church does have someone who is the patron saint of television, because a woman, a young woman, was on effectively her deathbed, though they didn't know about it at the time, running an incredible fever, not being able to eat and sleep properly, and was having visions that were coming to her that were she was able to see on the wall in the room in which she was convalescing, and they later said she was having television visions before the advent of television. Now, why in God's green earth would we want to be praying to a patron saint of anything if that's the idea that goes behind these things?
Yeah, I mean, if we don't believe in gods, we don't believe in unicorns, and you know, why are we going to pray to something that we don't believe in? What's the point?
Because seriously. I believe that gallons of milk actually do exist. Duh. Oh, wait, that's a different question later. All right, coming back to that. Sports, Major League Baseball. Do atheists believe in the California Angels? Yes.
No, we believe in the Anaheim Angels.
Oh.
Hey, I'm not even sure I believe in Pittsburgh. I'm still on the fence about that.
You come out to Pittsburgh when Anthrocon's out there, believe me, you will be raped more times than you care to know, and then you will be a believer.
Will they use Lou?
No.
Oh, then I'm all in. I'm not afraid to make a fool out of myself.
It's a good thing, too. Question, Mark Twain. Didn't he say about atheists, they're like South Platte River, mostly shallow, but with a mouth that's a mile wide?
Mark Twain said a lot of things.
He said a lot of things, and I'm kind of wondering if that was about atheists or about the whore down the street. Moving on. If Jesus ran into you guys, he would not walk on water to get away. He would run on water, which just proves that Jesus is actually a lizard. Some of you know the joke, some of you don't.
Jesus is horrible at saving people from drowning, though, because he can't seem to break that surface tension, you know?
I you know, there's another link I have to link you guys to. It's called Happy in Paraguay. And Jesus is a raisin. That's it. Keep going.
He's a raisin?
Just trust me on this. Keep going.
Okay. Final question. And by the way, Ross, thank you. And I'm, you know full well, we're not making fun of you. We're just having fun with the questions. Final question. Were any atheists or animals harmed in the making of this vlogcast? As a matter of fact...
Yes, me.
Yes, well...
Well, actually, hold on. Yeah.
Technically, no, actually. I'm an agnostic.
You good under there?
Susan.
Mm. Yeah, Betsy's fine. She wasn't harmed.
Very good.
Ain't nothing like loving like mutton.
Good night, everybody.
No, you get back here. You get back here, you bitch. 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 Okay, for those of you that don't know who Markiplier is, you really need to look at Markiplier. You really do. Octodad.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
did they call him Octodad because he has eight dicks?
No. He played a game called Octodad, and I will make sure that I link in the description for this video the best of video from his playthrough of Octodad.
That was
a thing of beauty.
Oh my god, his playthrough made me simultaneously want to play Octodad and never play Octodad, ever.
I've never heard of this game.
Oh, it's...
You need to watch Markiplier's videos.
Yes. Once this goes up on online, I will make sure that the link is in the description for you guys. You need to find... If you want to go ahead and play How Good Is This Video, you need to find specifically... You get back here, you bitch. Trust me, it'll make sense. Now, the question on the floor is, were any animals harmed in making this vlogcast? And I'm going to answer this one in all seriousness, although it's not going to sound like it's serious. The answer is yes. Every moment of every day that we are alive, our bodies are constantly killing animals. By the loosest definition of the term, bacteria that are trying their most absolute desperate to find somewhere where they can grow, where they can manufacture more of themselves, to try to find a way to get into our bodies so that they can live and they can make their own progeny and they can go on and they can live and they can make their own and so on and so on and so on. And yet, through all of these days, all of these moments that we're alive, we are constantly in the process of genocidally killing billions upon billions of these animals, and yet we don't hear any problems from people who are vegan or vegetarian who don't think that this is any kind of a problem because they don't even think about it. But yet, through hundreds of millions of years of constant evolutionary traits, we are not killed by these little infectious diseases because we know how to battle them. And this all comes back around to the top of the show. We, as adults, have learned, our bodies have learned, because they have been trained through countless millennia to stop these things in their tracks, to not give them a foothold, so that they don't reproduce.
If you just do the same with the evangelicals, we'd be in great shape.
But the infants, the brand new children, the brand new lives, haven't had the opportunity to learn how to prevent that from happening.
No. I'm talking about preventing the adults from reproducing.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But
the kids are okay. They can be – the logic can still be instilled upon them.
But the point of it is, the children have the opportunity after birth – of having the information on how to prevent their bodies from becoming incubators for these individual diseases, because our question and answer about how do we stop diseases from spreading have brought us to this point where we can actually teach, force the bodies to be taught how to deal with whooping cough, polio, rubella,
measles,
smallpox, chicken pox. You go on and on and on and on, and very, very soon, HIV as well. Human papillomavirus, cervical cancer virus.
Did you see the latest breakthrough on HIV?
Specifically, I did see a headline. I did not read it through.
Okay.
But the bottom line of it is, we know how to stop these things. And this is what comes back around. The technology that we have amassed over the last 200,000 years of human civilization is amazing. We live in the era of science fiction. We are living in a time when we may see, in my lifetime, an actual 100% synthesized life form. A cell is in the process of having been created in a laboratory. They have had a discovery. They have made a chromosome. 100% manufactured chromosome from bits and pieces that fit into DNA strands that is then put into a yeast cell. A yeast is a living organism, and it went in and the yeast cell reproduced as if it were no different from a 100% organically generated piece of organic material. We have the ability. We have the technology. We have the know-how. We have the information that says, after trial and error and throwing out what doesn't work and keeping what does, we know how to make this work.
And we're getting better every day.
Sit in a doctor's waiting room listening to a child with whooping cough and tell me that it's not something worthwhile to do. And the sad part about it is, the absolutely sad and scary part, is that day in and day out, it's easier and easier to find those children. And that shouldn't be. I'm going to see about getting Dr. Rachi from Australia to be on with us to talk about vaccinations. I want her to be on our show because she's a wonderful person. She is an excellent, excellent speaker. And honestly, she doesn't know us from anybody. And I think that actually works to our advantage.
Well, make sure you, when you ask her, approach her, just make sure she understands that if we have questions, we will ask at appropriate times, and we will give her time to answer the questions in full, rather than cutting her off.
Oh, absolutely. And she's a good person. I believe that she would go for it, and I think that I can convey the idea properly to her.
There you go.
Okay, 90 minutes. Yep. It's time to cut it off. Tech, good night. Thank you very much.
Good night, everybody. And if you didn't like what I had to say tonight, well, go fuck yourself. Turtle fuckers.
How appropriate. Witchy, thank you.
Good night, everybody. Next week, I will be back in Philly, hopefully, and back to my normal tactful self. So.
Yeah, where are you right now again?
I'm in Connecticut.
That's good enough. And by the way, there's someone behind you. Hi.
I know.
And as always, holy crap. And I'm out of tea at this point.
Plug in the show again?
No.
You said holy crap.
No, I've just got an incredibly dry throat at the moment. Anyway, as always, guys and gals, thank you for watching. Thank you for putting up with us, of course, and for taking the time to go through the show with us. Like I said, every 10th episode, so that if you ever wonder about it, every 10th episode, we will do this. We will pull out the stops. We will talk about all the shit, and we will hopefully leave you maybe feeling weird, maybe feeling happy, maybe feeling like you want to go ahead and rip us a new asshole.
Or maybe feeling like we orally violated your eardrums.
But bottom line, if we've made you feel, it doesn't have to be good, it doesn't have to be bad. If we've made you feel something other than apathy, we've done our job, and so have you. Because this is a two-way street. As much as it is a broadcast out to folks, you get to go ahead and let us know if there's something that you want us to try and discuss through. Like I said at the top of the shows, the ultimate biggest part about the whole thing is to really wonder why. And that is really the cornerstone of all understanding. Why is? Why does? Just why? And when all is said and done, hopefully we won't have the answer. We'll have a better understanding as to what the questions mean. Sometimes that's more important.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side?
No, I'm not going to go see that.
I'm on my second kickstart.
Oh, Lord. All right, our next scheduled show is going to be... I'm just pulling up my thing over here right about now. We're at the end of March. It's going to be April 7th. No, sorry, April 6th. I'm looking at too many different things at once.
That's going to be the day after International Tabletop Day.
Okay.
That's a good day. Mm-hmm. There are a number, to go along with that, there are a number of good, good tabletop games out there.
Munchkin
is one.
Run for Your Life, Candyman.
Okay,
That's made by.
And of course, my favorite Cards Against Humanity. We'll discuss that later.
Yes, we will. For episode 20, maybe that's what we'll do. We will give that as a consideration. In any event, enjoy yourselves. There is a YouTube channel called Tabletop. It's run by Will Wheaton. You can check it out. He's got a lot of good ones out there. Zombie Dice is a really, really fun one. It's dirt cheap, too. If I remember right, it's $13.13, if I remember correctly. Or it might be $6.66. I forget which it is. But find it. Find a local gaming store in your area and just buy something, even if it's cheap. A set of dice. For instance, is not a bad thing. There are some really super expensive games.
There's also, if you find yourself in a position where you usually only have one opponent, so basically constantly in a two-player scenario, and you have a lot of three-player, four-player games, go to your a game store or Target or Kmart or Walmart, whatever. Go into the game section where they keep the board games, and what you're looking for it's usually on a peg hook. It's called Uno Dice. Uno Dice is strictly for two players, and it is a lot of fun.
Oh, boy.
So there you go. You've got options. Enjoy yourselves. Have a great old time. If you are stuck in the middle of all of this crap weather again, please, please be safe out there. It started re-snowing again out over here in the Buffalo region, and it is around the freezing mark, which means it is wet, heavy, slick stuff. That as you drive, it's crunching under tires. This is not a good thing, especially for folks that are out there driving the big semis. If you had to be out there and you're driving a semi, more power to you. Be safe out there, guys. And if you drive a four-wheeler and you're around these guys, give them the room that they need. They deserve it. You have no idea how much time they put in on the road, and it sucks. As always, everyone, please do take very good care of yourselves. Be safe, most importantly. And keep questioning. If you've got stuff that you'd like us to cover sometime, please, by all means, send an email over to me at shujintribble@gmail.com. Shujintribble, all one word. And make sure that you include Holy Crap in the title. If you are finding me on G+ and you want to add me onto one of your circles, if you would like to be added specifically to the Holy Crap Circle so that you get notices of when these shows come out, please make sure that you send me an email and let me know about that also so I can add you to the Holy Crap Circle so you will get the notices when they come out. I'm still kind of trying to figure out the best way of doing the setting up the Hangouts because there's a piece that I'm missing somewhere and I'm really trying to nail it down. And on Sundays, you may find me on Steam. I'm going to be seeing about doing some gaming once in a while on Steam on Sundays. Could be Left 4 Dead, more than likely. I don't know when I will be on, if I will be on, but if you happen to have a Steam account and you want to go looking for me, you may end up finding me.
Is this why I won't see you on Minecraft very often?
I actually have done a little bit of work in Minecraft. I don't get in Minecraft as often as I would like. I don't do gaming as much as I would like. I'm trying to balance out my times. In the meantime, as always, everyone take good care of yourselves. Be safe. Be warm out there. As always, for my lady, Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. On behalf of all of us over here at Holy Crap, as always, we wish all of you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Until the very next time we get together, everyone, as always, take care of yourselves. And good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.